Our fifth annual Fantasy Football Marathon rolls on with more than 24 straight hours of coverage on ESPN and the ESPN app. All the fantasy insight to get you ready for your season. I'll say it again. The season begins 2 weeks from Thursday. We're so accustomed to the usual rhythm of the stuff with a preseason and all of that. Stuff doesn't exist this year. The NFL season kicks off in 2 weeks. Get your fantasy football squad ready right now.
You're watching the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon, presented by EA Sports NFL Madden 21.
Here we go, hour number two of Get Up. With the dawning of the decade of Doncic, Luka, spectacular. What does it mean for the future, short term and long? RJ is live. Meanwhile, Lamar is hurt. How bad is it? And what does that mean for the Ravens' chances of doing all the things they have planned this year? Plus, we will take you to Foxborough, where circumstances have changed. We'll tell you exactly what the last few days have meant for Cam Newton and the Patriots as we get up with you, starting right now with the game of the day. Performance of the day, performance of the year, Luka Doncic. No Kristaps Porzingis, he had a knee. Meanwhile, after all the drama Friday night, nice moment. Doncic, Montrezl Harrell, they're all good. Till we go to the fourth quarter, under four to play. Mavs up four, Luka Doncic. Oh my goodness, he scored 43, 17 rebounds, 13 assists in a back and forth game. Just over 2 minutes to play. Mavs are up five. Doncic, this one's no good. Reggie Jackson with the save. Oh, Kawhi is streaking. Kawhi, 32 points, 9 rebounds. Clippers within two. Later, we're tied at 121. Clippers had the last shot in regulation. Kawhi, this is for the win. Up and it's no good. Clippers had a 21-point lead at one point in this game. Mavericks led by 12 in the fourth quarter, but we go to overtime. Just over a minute left in the OT. Clippers down one. Lou Will. Oh, how good was he? 36 points in 34 minutes off the bench. He'd make the foul shot Clippers up to. Next Mavs possession. Doncic. Count the defenders. One, two, three. No problem. 18 of 31 for Doncic. We're tied at 130. Under 30 seconds to play. Same score. Doncic again. The spin, the body control. Goes his 40th point of the game. Mavs up two. So, next Clipper possession. If you're Dallas, just don't give up a three. Just don't give up a three. Just don't give up a three! Marcus Morris Sr. from the corner. Clippers, a one-point lead. Final seconds. That sets up this. The shot heard round the world. With 4 seconds left, there's Doncic. He sets his feet. It's up, and it's good! Setting social media on fire, his teammates go crazy, and Mike Breen, the rare double bang.
Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer!
Oh, what a call. Oh, what a moment. Luka Doncic and the Mavs in overtime by a deuce to even the series at two. The celebration, and then the conversation.
I was just trying to make it, you know. I can't explain the emotions I had, you know, when the ball goes in, when I see the whole team like running towards me, that was something special. One of the best feelings I ever had as a player, and it's just something special, man. This team is something special.
Sees the game in, you know, 6G. It's not 5G. It's 6G. It's another level beyond what most people see it. So, just a very, very special player. And this game today was from another planet.
Hey man, that's the Don. That's why they call him Luka Magic, man. I ain't got nothing else to say. You guys call him Luka Magic. I call him the Don.
Just spectacular. Plenty of reaction, of course, on Twitter, including from the King, LeBron James. Bang bang, in his Mike Breen voice. Blazers guard C.J. McCollum chiming in. Sheesh, step back to freedom. And then Steph Curry, who has certainly made his share of big threes. He was in virtual attendance, by the way, for the game. He added, that's ridiculous, blouses, putting Luka Doncic on the tweet. Just absolutely spectacular. And let us bring the one and only Richard Jefferson into the conversation. RJ, of course, you played with and against a lot of the greatest players in NBA history. So with that sort of as the backdrop, what do you think we are seeing in this kid, 21 years old, in his first ever postseason?
Honestly, we haven't seen this many times in NBA history. And let me explain. The kid has really very few holes or gaps in his game. Everyone knew about the Luka legend that was coming over here from Europe, but he still didn't go number one in the draft because of the way that we draft. But all the people said that this kid is different. He is special. He is different. He came over here and dominated right away. Rookie of the year, just crushed everybody. Now here in his first postseason, look at the numbers that he keeps putting up and keeps breaking. There's not too much that we can't say about him. This kid has future MVPs and future championships coming very, very quickly.
I'd love you to talk about his vision and his understanding of the game, because that's what people keep referring to. You played with Jason Kidd, who was a guy who famously had that. Is that similar?
This is what I'm going to say, and I'm glad you brought that up. That was the one part. When I heard Rick Carlisle said he's in the same boat as, like, a Jason Kidd, and I was like, wait a second, because Jay Kidd had a certain bit of flair. Magic Johnson had a certain bit of flair. But when I saw him throw that left-handed pass between his legs with a minute to go in the game, only thing I could think about is Jay Kidd. Only Jay Kidd would have that type of brain to be like, I'm going to throw it between my legs, through a defender, into a big late in a game. Those are things, they just see the game differently. They feel the game differently. They're playing a different game than everybody else. And until you can start to witness it consistently, that's when you're just like, yes, he's in the exact same boat as Jason Kidd when it comes to pass. Maybe not as much flair, but as far as accuracy and focus and the ability to just see the game move that much slower, that it's all the same.
And on the other side, Paul George is 10 of 47 from the floor in the last three games. He's not even an offensive consideration down the stretch here. What does that mean? And how concerned do you think Clippers and their fans and everybody should be?
Well, I think they should be a little bit concerned, because if it's not physical, or if it's not mental, then it's physical. And if it ain't physical, then it's mental. So either way, there's an issue. My biggest thing is this. Look, Kawhi is doing the exact same thing he did last year in Toronto. But ultimately, he had Pascal Siakam. He had Van Fleet. He had all of those other studs that could lift him up, Kyle Lowry. So, you know, he's getting a lot of the support, but he needs Paul George to be that Pascal Siakam, and right now he hasn't been.
All right, RJ, sit with me a minute. I'm going to get you to a couple of other things in a moment. Let me show you now the folks, the Celtics and the Sixers yesterday, game four, and what might have been the end of an era in Philadelphia, trying to avoid a sweep. Meanwhile, this is a very scary moment here. Watch as Tobias Harris's feet get swept out from under him, and he goes down face first. I can tell you, he passed concussion protocol, and he came back in the game, which obviously is great news, because that was a frightening moment. He would score 20, but with him out of the game, the Celtics went on a run, and they basically put it away. Jason Tatum would score 28, 12-0 run to end the third. Celtics a 12-point lead, go to the fourth, and then fourth quarter, just a bunch of defensive miscommunication for Boston. Here's Kemba Walker. He would score 32. Celtics a 14-point lead, looking to put it away. Marcus Smart throwing it up. Tatum throwing it down. Again, Tatum 28 points, 15 rebounds, and the Celtics finish off the Sixers in a sweep. Now, what we saw yesterday as the Philadelphia 76ers were swept out of the playoffs by their arch rivals was indeed the end of this era of Sixers basketball. There's only one reasonable conclusion to draw. The process was a disaster. There were so many reasons. I'd love to tell you the strategy itself didn't work, that tanking is a bad idea, and boy, did they ever tank. Over a three-year stretch, they went 47 and 199. They lost 25 consecutive games twice. So they humiliated themselves, and for what? See, that's where it really went wrong. The strategy wasn't their biggest problem. It was the execution. They took Jahlil Okafor, number three, in 2015, one spot ahead of Kristaps Porzingis. They traded two number ones to Boston to draft Markel Fultz, who had more DNPs than he did made field goals as a Sixer. Meanwhile, the Celtics used that trade to draft Jason Tatum two spots after Fultz. Tatum scored 108 points this week in sweeping Philly out of the playoffs. Now, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are what remain of the process. Together, they've won 10 playoff games and missed 383 games, which is a shame, really, because no one could argue they were bad picks. They're both all-star caliber players. But between Embiid's health and Simmons' offensive limitations, it seems they may have gone about as far as they're ever going to. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's over. And if so, the moral of the story is this. The process was designed to revolutionize the sport. Instead, it became a cautionary tale that hopefully will keep any team from ever trying it again. That's what I think. Let me find out what Richard Jefferson thinks. RJ, how would you assess the state of the process after the Sixers get bounced out this quickly?
Well, first of all, let me say this. That was well said. And there were multiple picks also in there when we talk about Noel, when we talk about multiple guys, Saric, that they also drafted that, you know, are ultimately players, but it wasn't worth everything that they went through for multiple years. You know what? I really think that this team, I hate to say this again, but Jimmy Butler was the key to this team. If you have Jimmy Butler, you have Tobias Harris, you have your late game closer, you have your perimeter defender. That was the piece. And when they lost that, it kind of went in a little bit of disarray. They added Al Horford, which in theory, like you said, in theory, it should work, right? Because you have two bigs that can now shoot the ball and it allowed Ben Simmons. But Al Horford was not nearly the same player that he has been for the last few years because he's older. Ben Simmons hasn't been able to stay healthy. Joel Embiid had a very good season, but it just wasn't enough. So yes, should they retool this team? Definitely. Are they going to be able to get off of the Al Horford contract or the Tobias Harris contract? Most likely not. So then your only really true paid trade pieces are either Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, and I'm not sure which one you go with. You know, if you would have said a year and a half ago, it would have been Ben Simmons. Now today, you're like, well, Ben Simmons is having trouble staying healthy. We're talking about knee, we're talking about back, we're talking about other issues. So, you know, now it's a toss-up at which one you really want to build your team around.
So Jalen, from the day we started this thing, has been saying he does not believe Embiid and Simmons will ever work. They just aren't players whose skills work together. I had Jackie Mack on earlier, and she said that if she were making the decision, she would change the coaching staff and see if a different coach can find a way to make it work together. Do you believe that a new coach, and it seems a certainty that they will make a coaching change there, do you believe a new coach can figure something out? And if so, do you have anyone in mind?
Well, look, I will say this. I think Brett Brown is a great coach in this league, and I think he should, if he is released, I think he should get another coaching opportunity because he's been a part of this crazy, crazy mess. That being said, you should give them one more year because you don't want to just give up on two 25-year-old all-stars. You don't want to give up on that. So if you're like, hey, let's try a different voice. And then ultimately, the next time, what you do is you're like, okay, even with a different voice, it didn't work. Let's figure out which play. But I think you should try and change the coach before abandoning two all-stars. And there are so many great names out there that can be, you know, again, T. Lou. You know, there's lots of other coaches, Jamal Mosley in Dallas, who's done a great job with that team there. There's just a lot of coaches out there. You know, even, you know, ESPN's own Mark Jackson, Van Gundy. These guys are all names that should be mentioned in that.
Okay, RJ, stay close by. I'm going to bring you back with Stephen A. Smith in about 15 minutes. We'll go around the NBA with a few other matters. Meanwhile, I do have this poll question up today because I'd like to hear what you think. And we'll talk about it on my radio show a little later today as well. With the Sixers getting swept out, do you believe they need to move on from Embiid or Ben Simmons or both or neither? Cast your vote on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. Again, we'll talk about it on the radio a little bit later. Coming up, after a season loss to injury, Ben Roethlisberger is back, and according to some teammates, better than ever. You'll hear what they're seeing from their quarterback and what we expect. Meanwhile, yesterday would have been Kobe Bryant's 42nd birthday. We will ask Stephen A. Smith what he sees as Kobe's enduring legacy as we continue. Get up this morning on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's get up and go around some of the other sports news. Around the world, Bayern Munich won their sixth Champions League title after defeating Paris Saint-Germain 1-0 in the final. They finished the UEFA Champions League season with a perfect 11-0-0 record, so they are the champions. Meanwhile, World Series MVP Steven Strasburg scheduled to have surgery on his pitching hand Wednesday in Baltimore to correct a nerve problem that ended his season after just two appearances. He signed a 7-year, $245 million contract during the offseason. Elsewhere, after missing the past 2 days of practice with a groin injury, reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson slated to return to action today, according to Shefty. After yesterday's practice, John Harbaugh described it as a soft tissue injury, would not expand on the injury beyond that. And speaking of the Ravens, they have parted ways with 7-time Pro Bowl safety Earl Thomas after he punched teammate Chuck Clark in Friday's practice. Baltimore is expected to try to void Thomas's $10 million guaranteed salary for this season for conduct detrimental to the team. And for the first time this morning, we bring in Dan Orlovsky, for whom we are all excited, because today Dan and Marcus Spears and Laura Rutledge and Mina Kimes and company debut the brand new NFL Live, 4 o'clock Eastern, right here on ESPN. So we'll be watching. And I'm sure you'll be talking about Earl Thomas. We talked about this earlier this morning. Where do you expect him to go? And how much of a difference do you expect him at this stage of his career to make, wherever that is?
Yeah, I'd expect him to go to Dallas. I mean, I find it very convenient and interesting that Dallas last week freed up a good amount of cap space by restructuring Tyron Smith, their left tackle's contract, and then all of a sudden Earl Thomas gets cut by the Ravens. I just find it ironic that those two kind of happen in succinct. So Dallas is obviously the early pick. I'd be very wary, though, because, you know, Earl can still play. There's some people who don't think he's that high end of a safety anymore. He's at worst, still a top 10 safety. That being said, two of the best organizations in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks and the Baltimore Ravens, have both decided to move on from Earl Thomas in the past 18 months. And that doesn't make your football team talent-wise better. And so you still have to be very wary and do your due diligence, but I would expect the Cowboys to make their run.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Okay, then I need to get into this. From one player leaving a team to another one making his return, all eyes on Ben Roethlisberger and his elbow after off-season surgery. At least one teammate is expecting huge things from Ben, and that is tight end Vance McDonald, who sees a hunger in his quarterback. He said this recently. He said, quote, golly, he is really back. This is crazy and awesome to see. The way he attacks the day is just different than I've seen him since I got here in 2017. I'm loving the leadership from him. I'm loving just that hunger and that fire. I think you will notice that trickle down to the entire offense as you see us getting rocking and rolling here. Guys are just flocking to him. The hunger is real from Ben. So I need to set up why we're having this conversation. So I'm sitting there yesterday afternoon. I'm trying to watch Luka Doncic set the world on fire. And we have a staff email chain that goes around all day long getting ready for the show. And Orlovsky and Tannenbaum just get into a fight. The two of them get into a fight that will not stop on this email about Roethlisberger. So we figured we got to bring this to the air. So go ahead, Orlovsky. What do you expect from Ben this season?
Yeah, so first of all, I think that the Ravens moving on from Earl Thomas now closes the gap between the Ravens and Pittsburgh. And I've said this, the Ravens are losing arguably their second best player in Marshall Yanda, could be their best player, and now the Steelers are getting Big Ben back. And everyone, for some reason, especially Mike T, has decided that Big Ben got soft and that he stinks now. Like, the last time we saw Big Ben play healthy football, he'd led the NFL in passing. This is still a top five offensive line in Pittsburgh. They have now one of the best slot receivers is in Deontay Johnson. Eric Ebron is a good addition. Chase Claypool, their young receiver out of Notre Dame, is going to be a nice addition. Juju's got to step forward. So I expect Big Ben to play big time football. And here's another thing, Greeny. This is a top five defense in Pittsburgh. Big Ben, every single time he has had a top five defense, he's had it six times. He's gone to the playoffs all six times. So everyone telling me that the Baltimore Ravens are the runaway favorites in that division, I say pause. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be right there in the mix, and I expect them to win the division. They were 8-5 last year. 8-5 with you playing quarterback, Greeny, and they lost their last three. They now have a Hall of Famer and a healthy Ben Roethlisberger back. This team can win this division.
Tannenbaum?
Well, in all due respect, and I appreciate you coming on here, Dan, let's just start with Ben Roethlisberger. It's human nature. He's 38 years old. He's played two meaningful games in 2 years. That is a lifetime in pro football. Let's go back to the 2004 draft. Eli Manning's retired. Phillip Rivers is hanging on by a thread. And I think at some point during the season, there will be a consequential play that Ben Roethlisberger is going to need to make. And because of all the money he's made and all the championships he's won, I'd rather see the ball in the hands of Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, or even Joe Burrow. Because those three quarterbacks in the AFC North, it's all in front of them. And I've been around quarterbacks.
Wait.
It's close to the end. Wait, let me. Vinny
Testaverde. I love you.
Go ahead, Dan.
You mean to tell me that you would rather see the ball in those three guys' hands who have never done it at the most critical moments in this league yet. They have not done it yet over the guy who is almost notorious for doing it in his career. You mean to tell me that Big Ben Roethlisberger, who has played a reckless style or recess style, an aggressive style of football since he was born, since he fell out of the womb, you mean to tell me that all of a sudden, just because he's 38 and he made some money, he's gonna get soft? Like he's gonna turn down stuff? No, that guy's wired that way. Give me Big Ben, the guy, listen, he's proven it time and time again, and he's not just coming back just cause. I totally disagree that he's gonna get soft just because.
30 seconds, Tannenbaum, go.
I've seen it. Okay, I've seen it at the end. Testaverde, Favre, Cutler. At some point, it's over. Those are three young, competitive guys. I think Pittsburgh has a championship defense. Don't get me wrong, but I think Baltimore is clearly ahead. And I'm just saying, if I had to take the Ben Roethlisberger at 38, who's played two games in 2 years, I'll take my chances with Burrow and Mayfield. And Pittsburgh may have the fourth best quarterback this year in the AFC North.
But I have to leave it there for the moment. Dan, I'm fascinated by your description of Ben Roethlisberger's birth as him falling out of the womb. I've never quite heard that put that way before, but I liked it. All right, guys, stand by. More football as we continue, and I remind you that it's our fifth annual Fantasy Football Marathon. It rolls on with more than 24 straight hours of coverage on ESPN and the ESPN app. All the fantasy insight to get you ready for your season. Meanwhile, back to basketball next, a playoff game for the ages. Does Stephen A. think Luka Doncic can keep this up and lead the Mavs over the Clippers in round one? He will answer that question next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let me run the floor through yesterday's playoff action. How about dueling 50-point performances for the first time in playoff history? Jamal Murray scored 50 for the Nuggets, but it wasn't enough because Donovan Mitchell scored 51, and the Jazz get the win. They go up 3-1 in the series, Mitchell joining Allen Iverson and Michael Jordan as the only players with multiple 50-point games in a single series in postseason history. Again, Utah up 3-1. Toronto, despite losing Kyle Lowry to an ankle in the first, complete the sweep of the Nets, 150 to 122. Toronto's bench scored 100 points. First team with 100 bench points in any game, regular season or playoffs, since that was first tracked in 1971. The Celtics finish off the Sixers with a four-point win and a sweep. Kemba Walker scored 32. Jason Tatum, 28 points, a career-high 15 boards. It was the 15th time these two franchises have met in a best-of-seven series. It's the first time the Celtics have swept the Sixers. But the day belonged to Luka Doncic. Playing on a tender ankle, what a performance. This step-back three for the game winner, the shot heard around the world. They win it by two in overtime. Luka had 43 points, 17 rebounds, 13 assists. That series is even at two games apiece. That's where the drama was, and this is where the conversation begins right now. Richard Jefferson is with us, and we will have Stephen A. Smith with us in just a moment. Stephen A. will join us in just a moment. RJ, you and I opened this hour talking about Luka. Let's talk about what to expect from him now as we go forward. Tim Legler said on this show last week that we are entering the decade of Doncic. Do you believe Luka is on the verge of becoming that player, the signature player in the NBA as some of these older stars sort of get into their final years?
You know, it's funny, we talk about that. Meanwhile, Giannis is still very young, probably on his way to a second MVP. But I think the way Luka does it is different, right? You look up at it, and we were marveling at LeBron James having 25, 15, and 15. And Luka almost did the exact same thing. This man goes out and has, you know, 43, 17, and 13. So he was about to have a 40-point game with the same type of numbers. And Luka is just different. He's special. I don't know how he gets 17 rebounds. I kind of understand how he gets, you know, double-digit assists. But then he also goes out there and scores 40. There, we haven't seen too many players that have the ability to do this night in, night out. And don't forget, you remember this, Greeny, earlier in the season, he averaged a triple-double over the course of a month. So this isn't him getting hot. This is just who he is, how he plays, and he's only going to continue to get better and smarter.
Stephen A. now does join us. Indeed, Stephen A. Smith with First Take starting in 28 minutes. Good morning, Stephen A. Let me just come to you and give you the floor. Any direction you want to go on Luka, obviously, yesterday was spectacular. The series has been spectacular. As you were watching Luka Doncic right now, what thoughts are going through your mind?
Oh, the brothers, he's big time, no question about it. I've had NBA officials telling me that at this age, he's better than LeBron James was. I think that's a bit hyperbolic. I certainly don't believe that because I believe that LeBron was absolutely phenomenal. But you can make that argument because of Luka's shooting ability. We can't deny that. His poise, the fact that he's not scared of any moment. And then to be going up against, and I don't think we can ignore this, for him to be going up against a Clippers defense that is supposed to be big time with Kawhi Leonard, with Paul George. I know Patrick Beverley did not play, but Morris is no scrub. He can ball and he can defend. When you've got a team like the Clippers who are rough and rugged, they go after it, they play with intensity and whatever. And this dude scores 40 in two of the four games. One of the other games he was hurt. Another game he had 28 points in 28 minutes. They can't seem to stop him. And then last but not least, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but Kawhi Leonard is one of the top five players on the planet. He is elite. He's a two-time champion, a two-time NBA Finals MVP. That first title that he won, that first NBA Finals MVP that he won, Greeny, it was because of his defensive prowess, supposedly against LeBron James, even though LeBron averaged 28 in that series. What the hell was Kawhi Leonard doing switching off of Luka Doncic last night and allowing the smaller Reggie Jackson to defend him? I think that was a mistake on Kawhi Leonard's part. That's something that you have to step up and demand. I'm not switching. I'm going to stay on this dude, especially with Porzingis out. Everybody and their mother knew that Luka Doncic was going to have the ball in his hands, which means Kawhi Leonard knew. Why were you not on this, brother?
No,
that's just the way I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, Doc Rivers was talking about the defense and that switch after the game. We've got Stephen A. Smith and Richard Jefferson with us. I'm just going to ask, because I saw what happened there. We're having a little trouble with Stephen A.'s camera. Can I come back to? Oh, yes, we do. Okay, excellent. Stephen A., very quickly, because I want to make sure we save some time to talk about Kobe today. But I do want to get your take on the Sixers. They get swept out yesterday. Anyone who knows you knows you began your career with the Philadelphia newspapers covering the Sixers, and now we see what might have been the end of the process. If it were up to you, what would be the changes you would make in Philly after they get swept out of the playoffs yesterday?
Brett Brown has to be replaced as head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. I take no pleasure in saying that. He's a good man. He truly, truly is. And I'm certainly not questioning his knowledge of basketball from an X's and O's standpoint. But at some point in time, when you're entering your eighth season as the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, you know what? We got to look at it. You lived off the process. The process was straight garbage as far as I'm concerned. And nobody blamed him for that. But you've had 3 or 4 years with Joel Embiid healthy, with Ben Simmons in the lineup. And this is what happens. And so at the end of the day, I question whether or not he has the pulse of these players, that he's maximizing what he has to work with. And that's where it becomes problematic. Ty Lue, Mark Jackson, and others, there's coaches out there that are believed to be individuals who can touch the pulse of players of that magnitude. You've got to give it a shot without wasting away the years of the Philadelphia 76ers. Butler and Redick are going, I understand that. And that's a management issue as well. But they should have been better, particularly on the road this year. And their horrible road record, to me, is the ultimate indictment against Brett Brown. I think there needs to be a change, and I think there will be a change, I predict, within the next few hours.
Yeah, Woj told us similar thought this morning. Again, RJ commented on it earlier in this hour. Okay, I wanted to make sure we save plenty of time for this. Yesterday would have been Kobe Bryant's 42nd birthday. In honor of that, we have just a 42-second look back at what was one of the genuinely great careers in the history of American sports.
Welcome to the Kobe Show.
Kobe, Kobe, Kobe.
360 jam.
Posterizes Dwight Howard.
I'll baptize him.
He's been an unstoppable force in this game.
Oh, between the legs, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant can take over.
81 points for Kobe.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Riding away, trying to demoralize our opponent.
Kobe with emphasis.
It's about winning championships because that is the challenge.
What can I say? Mamba out.
Still impossible to believe that we lost him earlier this year. Again, yesterday was his birthday, and today is August 24th, 8/24. So his two numbers, and that obviously is a big day in Orange County, California. They're calling this Kobe Day, and that's being honored in so many different places. Stephen A., you were with me the day after he died, and we talked about it at great length. Here we are several months removed from that and all that has happened. I just wonder your thoughts on this day and as we remember Kobe Bryant.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's incredibly sad knowing that he's gone. To see his wife post what she posted on Instagram with him and her yesterday and her tribute to him and her lovely daughter, Gianna, I mean, it just breaks your heart to know that that has happened so tragically and that he is gone. But for me personally, as a reporter that knew him for so many years, his entire career, basically, because he started out at Laura Merriam here in Pennsylvania, I mean, to know that he's gone, to know the brilliance of this guy. He wasn't just a brilliant basketball player. He was a brilliant young man, highly intellectual, fluent in at least 3 to 4 different languages, learning a fifth. And to be the father that he was, the man that he was, and to serve as the inspiration that he was to so many of us, giving us words of advice, pushing us to be our very best, for him to be younger than 10 years younger, more 11 years younger than me, and to tell me about things that I needed to be doing in order to advance my career and the things that I could do to be better and what have you. He did it for me. He did it for his contemporaries and colleagues. He did it for people that he just met in a moment when they wanted his advice. He was so giving in that regard. And we're just not better without him. It's a devastating, devastating loss. And I don't think anybody who knows him will truly, truly ever get over it, because he's truly gone entirely too soon.
Now, Richard, I remember you played against him in the finals. I wonder what your thoughts are on all of this.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify could do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/getup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/getup to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/getup.
Well, you know, we were all out here in LA when it happened. And, you know, the one thing that I will tell people is, so many times in sports, we talk about coaches' trees, you know, coaching trees, where Kobe Bryant has a player tree. So many players have been impacted by him. You saw the Mamba Academy. You saw what he was doing with women's basketball players and the college athletes, and how he started to mentor younger players in this league. And Anthony Davis even just said it a couple of nights ago about when he was struggling, he was thinking about what would Kobe tell him. So even though Kobe is gone, Kobe lives and breathes through the game of basketball from his impact that he's had not only on the men's side, but also on the women's side, and how he was growing the sport, and how his wife is going to continue the Mamba Academy through, you know, his name and Gianna's name. So, you know, Kobe Bryant has not left. It is literally the tree and the impact that he has had throughout all of college sports, or all of basketball, has just been impacted. And I think, you know, we're going to continue to see the impacts of what he did and the people that he touched for many years.
Yeah, it's really well said and an interesting thought. I posted yesterday, and this is what I was thinking. There will come a time when Kobe Bryant's birthday will be a day that we can celebrate his legacy and all of that. It feels far too soon for that. It still feels like a solemn remembrance yesterday. And so I'm sure the NBA, I know the Lakers are going to wear the special jerseys today and all the rest of that. Stephen A. Smith in 19 minutes with First Take. Richard Jefferson, thank you. Thank you, guys. Great to see you as always. And thank you for sharing those thoughts on a day that I think for a lot of us still hits you kind of hard in the gut. Meantime, we'll take a break here, and as we continue, we'll go back to some football. By all accounts, there's no quarterback controversy in New England. Not anymore. The team is all Cam Newton's. We'll hear what our guys think of that next. Get up, ESPN.
Phil Gates here. Have you heard of the ESPN Fantasy app? Your portal to the best fantasy football experience on the planet. With the ESPN Fantasy app, you are in control. From customizing your leagues, to inviting friends, to running your draft, it's all in there in a simple, easy-to-use layout. During the season, use it to add and drop players, post trades, and track your progress in real time from virtually anywhere. Fantasy becomes reality when you download the ESPN Fantasy app.
All right, the Fantasy Marathon continues. Let's talk about Cam Newton. For the first time in his career, he's in a competition for the starting quarterback job, but Jarrett Stidham has been injured. And so listen as we ask this morning Patriots supporter Mike Reese the impact of that injury on Cam Newton's chances of being the starter.
It's changed everything. In football terms, it's created a big hole, and Cam Newton is taking the ball, and he's charging through that hole, literally and figuratively. And here's why it's so significant. Last week, the Patriots were splitting the quarterback reps three ways. Now it's down to two. And on Sunday, I was right there at practice. It really seemed to turn decisively in Cam Newton's direction. And in a condensed preseason, it almost makes you wonder, will the Patriots turn back now?
All right, so maybe it is Cam's job at this point in New England. Dan Orlovsky, what do you envision from the Patriots and Cam Newton?
Yeah, this should not come as a shock to anyone. I mean, it's been Cam's job since the day the New England Patriots signed Cam Newton. You know, I think it's great that Cam Newton is kind of becoming the Patriots quarterback on the field while he's still remaining himself off the field. A ton of energy, a ton of excitement. We see him dancing in practice. So it's great that he's being himself, but now that he's starting to separate and really become the Patriots quarterback, the leader of that offensive football team on the field. Now, the fact that Jarrett Stidham hasn't been able to practice much because of the injury really doesn't come into factor for me. This was Cam Newton's job since day one. I will say this, and I've said this since the day they signed him. This is still not a playoff football team. They lost Marcus Cannon, one of their best offensive linemen. They have a subpar skill set of players, two young tight ends, and six starters off of their defense. This is a team that was 0-4 against the best four teams in the AFC. So Cam is going to make them better, and Cam is going to be their starting quarterback. But this is not one of the six or seven best teams in the AFC because of some of the departures, whether via free agency or guys opting out.
I get that, Dan. They don't have to be one of the six or seven best teams so long as they're the best team in the division. Are they not that?
No. Buffalo is a significantly better team. Greeny, if you go back to last season, halfway through the season, from the ninth game on, the Buffalo Bills had a better record, they had a better offense, they had a better defense. They've had better additions to their football team, namely Stephon Diggs, while the Patriots have had a mass exodus of players off that 12-4 team last year. So the Buffalo Bills, on paper and on play last year, halfway or the last half of that season, are a much better football team, and I don't see this division very close. Mm. I see the Buffalo Bills being a head and shoulders favorite in that division.
Mm. Mike Tannenbaum, what do you think?
No way. If Cam Newton starts and plays in 16 games, they will win this division. This is going to be a really difficult and diverse offense to defend when you think about guys like James White, Damian Harris, Julian Edelman, and keep a name on a rookie, Devin Asiasi, who is a Michigan transfer who went to UCLA. This is going to be a new Patriot offense. And in terms of defense, yeah, they lost a couple of players, but they have a couple of interesting younger draft choices. Josh Uche, who could be an undersized pass rusher. They have a really good secondary. And my concern about Josh Allen specifically is he struggled at Wyoming, throwing the ball down the field with accuracy. It's the same problem he has right now in Buffalo. And if I know about that deficiency, I know all the other opposing defensive coordinators know about that deficiency as well.
Go ahead, Orlovsky.
Let's have this question. Let's have this. Who's got the better receiving core? Buffalo. Who's got the better tight end? Buffalo. Who's got as good, if not the better, running back group? Buffalo. Who's got the better front four? Buffalo. Who's got the better and more experienced linebackers? Buffalo. Now, who's got a better secondary? New England. New England has a better secondary. But Buffalo has got better players. That's just what they are. And last year, in one game at home, should have beat New England with five turnovers and then played them in a great game at the end of the season. So, and they've now got Stephon Diggs, one of the best receivers in football. And what happened last year with Buffalo was we saw them really understand Josh Allen. Listen, I was critical of Josh Allen coming out of the draft, and he does need to take a step forward. But there's also an aspect of he's an instinctual player. He's never going to be a pick-you-apart player. We've only seen Josh Allen do this. We've got to be honest. He's done this in the NFL. He has gotten better. And so I don't see this very close. Buffalo is a significantly more talented football team than New England.
Let me get Graziano in here. What do you think of all this?
Well, I think it's great listening to Dan that Buffalo beat New England last year in the Should Have Bowl, but they didn't actually beat them, and I think that's important to remember. And Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, they know how to win the AFC East. I mean, they've done it 11 years in a row. So I'm not ready to rule them out. I agree that what Buffalo looks like on paper does seem superior, but that coaching edge, and I think, you know, what Cam Newton is bringing, listening to what Mike Reese said, reading what Mike Reese has reported about the energy made me smile, because I remember going to Carolina Panthers training camp practices and seeing Cam Newton bounce around the field and kind of being struck by the energy he brings, and the idea of this sort of the stodgy New England Patriots kind of enjoying that and embracing it, I think is very interesting to me as we look at how the Patriots and Bill Belichick spin from Tom Brady into whatever is next. I just have a really, really hard time underestimating that coach and his ability to figure it out.
All right, let's leave that there for the moment, because there's one thing I did want to get a reaction, particularly from Dan on. Dan, your close friend and mine, Pat McAfee, had himself quite a Saturday night. Did everybody see this? McAfee at NXT TakeOver 30 taking on Adam Cole. And there were some moments for McAfee in this. I was talking to him Saturday. Just take a look at some of, watch this. Oh, so he jumps up on the ropes like that. And then watch this. Hold on, we're just getting started. Bam, the suplex. I mean, extraordinary athleticism from McAfee. He's got the flip where he takes out like 12 people, including AJ Hawk, who was in that scrum, that sea of humanity. And look at him go. So McAfee had himself quite a night. He did not wind up winning the fight, but I think he won a lot of people over. Orlovsky, what was your reaction to your pal there?
Pat McAfee is a legend, Greeny. He's an absolute legend. And you know me, I don't like to say that people are better at things than me. And I can't believe I'm going to say this on national television, but Pat McAfee is actually a significantly better athlete than I am. Like, watching him jump up onto those ropes, then flip off. Then he's talking about he hasn't had a carb in months. It didn't show because he had the shirt on. He might have had a little bit of extra baggage on the sides that he didn't want people to see, mainly his new wife. But he's a legend. Incredible athleticism. I would love to know how he felt Sunday morning. But Mr. McAfee, you are a legend in my eyes, brother.
Tannenbaum, real quick, what's your reaction?
Well, you know, we've been talking about versatility in the pandemic. Sign Pat McAfee. Look at all the different jobs he could do for you if you're on a team. So his versatility has never made him more valuable in the NFL.
Yeah, we actually watched on Saturday night, Stace, and I had a very good time watching. Graziano, quick thought.
The expression, how you do anything is how you do everything, applies to Pat McAfee. The way he wrestles is the way he podcasts and talks on Get Up and everything he does.
I agree. All right, Orlovsky, I'll see you on the radio show today, and then we will all be watching your debut today, NFL Live 4 Eastern here on ESPN. Meanwhile, we are Get Up. We're part of the Fantasy Football Marathon presented by EA Sports NFL Madden 21. You can sign up and set your league now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. Coming up, Luka Doncic went off, tied this series with the Clippers. How much trouble are Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in right now? Stephen A., Max, and Molly discuss on First Take in 5 minutes right here on ESPN. And Get Up as part of the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon is presented by EA Sports NFL Madden 21. All right, my poll question today is a tight race. Look at this. On Twitter, at ESPN Grady, get out there and vote, especially if you're a fan of the Sixers. Who do you think they need to move on from? 25% say Embiid, 26% say Simmons, 22% say both, 27% say neither. Your vote might make the difference. I'll talk about it with you on ESPN Radio. I'll be live coast to coast starting at noon Eastern. I can tell you right now, and they don't do this often, Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon together with me live on the program on ESPN Radio today. So we'll see you there, and then I'll see you back here, back in Better Than Ever tomorrow morning for Get Up. The conversation continues on First Take now.